The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello, everyone. My name is Ben Mosier, and you're listening to the Agile Uprising podcast.
Greetings and welcome to another edition of the Agile Uprising podcast. I am your, I guess, the typical host, Jay Hersko. And joined with me, I have two Agile Uprising members. We have joining us from straight across the pond, I believe in Spain, Claudia, am I right?
No, in France.
Ah, France. I knew it was one of those two. We have Claudia Orozco-Gomez. Hopefully I got that right. And joining us from scenic lockdown New York City, Carter Leffen.
Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Thank you both for joining on this exciting Sunday. Then again, we're locked down. We have nothing else to do anyway. So the topic of this week's episode is we are doing another episode of Should I Take This? For those listeners that haven't heard this series before, what we do is we identify classes, Agile classes, courses, certifications, conferences that we've been to, and we talk about, is it a worthwhile experience? And the topic of today's conversation is the Agile Coaches Certification. Did I get that right? The ACC.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
From IC Agile. So I took this, I think, a year and a half ago, and Carter and Claudia, I know you're both fresh off the course, so I think this will be an interesting conversation because you're obviously going to remember more than I do. So we're going to start off with the first question, and I'm going to start with you, Claudia. So how familiar were you with the course before you actually signed up for it?
I've got to say, not too familiar. I probably spent a few nights cramming on what class I actually wanted to take. And I did actually go to a Discord server asking for some feedback. But the class that I chose, so this specific, the trainers, really resonated. So I said, okay, let's go for this one. It's got enough positive reviews and the content sounds great. So we'll go for it. And it got approved and the rest is history.
Fantastic. How about you, Carter? What did you know prior to signing up?
I love researching, so I did a lot of research. I pored over the IC Agile website and looked at all the different things that were coming into town. And this was, I started researching prior to COVID. And so I was looking at, okay, I could take something maybe in March, April, or May. And I was weighing the price points and the amount of time I'd have to take off work. And the one thing I liked about Eisen, Sackett actually was one of your instructors, I think, a couple of years ago. Yeah. And was the fact that I could take the class at night, starting at, I think, 8 or 8:30 on Mondays. So it was really convenient for me to do that. And also, I was intrigued by the fact that it was the timing was right. Like, okay, I didn't have to, like, take it all in one shot. Like, they broke it up into 7 weeks, which was really convenient.
And so that's interesting. All three of us have taken this class online. So I'm real curious to hear what our different experiences are. I took mine online as well. I was trying to do it. And again, this was like 2 years ago, year and a half ago. I was trying to do it in person, but I couldn't find one that was close enough. And then I found that the online course they were more amenable with the timing. Right, I think it was like a 9 a.m. to like 2 p.m. 3 days or 4 days in a row, and I'm okay with that. Heads down, let's go in. Except when it comes to safe courses, but we're not going to talk about that right now. So for me, the timing was great. So all three of us took it virtually. And like you said, Carter, your instructor was the same instructor I had for my Discipline Agile course, Sockhead, who was great. You know, shout him out; he was wonderful. My instructor, I forget his name, and I'm going to be embarrassed that I said that, but he was an old school Agile coach who'd been around for a while. The thing that jumps out about me that I remember about the course is he knew personally or knows personally Gary Gygax, who's the creator of Dungeons and Dragons. So he wow. opened up the course talking about this, and I took the course with a buddy of mine, and I was IMing him like, dude, do we derail the class and go down like the nerd rabbit hole and start talking about like elves and orcs and stuff? Like, should we do this? He goes, no, come on. Other people pay for this. We can't do this. But yeah, he was a fascinating guy. He was a great instructor. So all three of us took it online. So I'm going to start with you, Carter, with the next question. So when you look back, what did you think of the course materials? Like the stuff that was contained in the learnings? Did you find it worked? Did you find it didn't? Did we left wanting?
No, I thought that it was well thought out because, as you all understand, that we had 7 weeks. So the way that Sackett basically created the materials was each week had a specific theme. And so each theme he would go into, there. Each deck might have been anywhere between 20 to 30 slides. And I really enjoyed the fact that I did know some of the stuff going in. But there were things that he had in the slide decks that were really, they were just great material. And along with that material, just in the decks alone, they also had a lot of videos that we would watch, as well as PDF documents to read. And so it wasn't just, okay, come to the class and that's it. It was, you're doing stuff throughout the week and you're learning and you're discussing with your classmates and, there's homework, and I feel like the homework plus the extracurricular stuff really did help solidify a lot of the stuff that he was talking about in the class. And as you know, also, it's like the more you take ownership of the learning, the more you're going to get out of it. And that's something that I would share with anybody online.
So, Claudia, I forgot to ask you, did you have a back-to-back course like me, or was it like Carter's where it was more spread out over a longer period of time?
It was back to back, so it was two full days with a couple of hours pre-coursework and post-coursework. But I actually chose this course because it was supposed to be in person. So I was going to make a trip to London to it, then hashtag coronavirus happened. So it was Agile Affinity with John Barrett and Rickard Jones, and they were able to turn around an in-person course to a remote course within like a few days. I don't know how they did it, but it was amazing. I was a little apprehensive about the fact that it was going to be online because I just thought what we're going to learn, the course content, it seems so relevant to me in an in-person setting. And it actually was really, especially because it's really practice oriented. So there was a whole lot of theory, a whole lot of tools and techniques, and they somehow managed to create that sort of environment that you would have in person in an online setting. So I was really, really impressed by that, and so much practice. Like I don't know how I practiced so much coaching over the course of 2 days.
That's great.
Let me ask you, and I'll ask you both. So one of the things that my instructor did when I took the course regarding the materials, which I thought was great, is he was consistently breaking us into breakout rooms.
Yeah.
He would hit a button and we'd all go into separate rooms, and it was really potluck who you ended up with. And I thought that was, not only did it make it interesting, right? And it made it not challenging, but it kept you paying attention because it wasn't the same people talking all the time.
Right.
Let's be honest here. I'm the host of a podcast. I'm a little bit extroverted. I run the risk of running over people, right? So it was a great learning experience, true, to be thrust into rooms with people I didn't know. And funnily enough, after those two or three days, I forget how many it was, I found I started to make connections with some of the people. Right, because in the breakout rooms, you start to have that. Tell me about what's going on at your job, and you go, oh my God, you're not going to believe this. And you tell them the story, and they go, oh, you think that's bad? And then they tell their story. So I thought that was really, really cool. The part of the materials I think that jumps out is probably the part of the materials that jumps out for everybody, and it's the stanchions of coaching. Right, that is something where if you know what to Google, you can find it. If you've read Lisa Adkins's book, you're familiar with this. If you haven't read her book or know where to Google, you're like, what do you mean mentoring, facilitating? What do you mean? So I thought that was really insightful for me because I noticed that I'm a better instructor than a coach, if we're you know, being honest here. So for me, I'm always consistently trying to be aware of that, settle in the back of my head that, am I instructing right now, or should I? Is this a coaching moment, right, where I'm instructing, or is this an instructing moment where I'm coaching, right? So I thought that was really, really insightful.
Definitely, yeah. I got a lot out of that. I had read Coaching Agile Teams prior and listened and watched her O'Reilly class as well, but going through that with the rest of the class was really helpful because. Getting to see their vantage point and was really enlightening.
And I forgot to ask, how big were your classes? Claudia, how big was yours?
I think there were about, I've got to say less than 15. So it was somewhere around 12 to 15 people in the class.
Okay, so it wasn't that big actually. It's a decent cohort size if you think about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
How about yours, Carter? Too. Same size?
About 12 people.
And I'm going to ask you, Claudia, regarding the people who attended, did you find that they were all kind of in the same professional milieu as you? Were they coming from different places?
This is one of the things that I first ask. I like getting to know who I'm surrounded by, what they're about. And in the beginning, when we started the course, I asked if there would be some sort of introduction. And the trainers purposely do not allow for introductions because they say basically they want everyone to leave their egos at the door. And once you start getting into titles, what do I do? Where do I work? It's putting your ego on the table. So I thought it was really clever of them to actually take that bit out, which kind of takes away any sort of notions that you would have of, okay, well, I'm talking to this person. He's more or less experienced than I am. He works in this type of setting. So you don't know who you're talking to. You're just getting to know them through their skills, through the exercises that you're doing.
That's an interesting take. And I never thought about it that way, but now you got me thinking back to some of the best courses I've taken. There were no introductions, and maybe we've all learned something here, right? That's right. It's you check your ego at the door.
It's really frustrating. I think I like to know who I'm actually speaking to. But in the end, it's true. So it takes away that whole narrative of that you're probably building up inside your head of, okay, my imposter syndrome's creeping in and he's got so much more experience or she's got so much more experience than I do. So it took that whole bit away and it kind of just, okay, let you get on with it.
Interesting. How about you, Carter? Did they do introductions, go around the room, or was it just up and go?
I believe it was just up and go. I don't recall introductions, but as we get into the breakout rooms, obviously, you're talking to people and you find out where they work and what they're, you know, oh yes, I'm a scrum master also, or I'm, you know, an agile coach, or and so it was that was interesting, like learning the where everybody lived and how they were dealing with the, you know, pandemic. So
right. I'm like you, Cloudy, where I want to meet a room full of people, because if you think about it, you meet 10 people, you have one thing that sticks in your head, and for me it's never the work stuff. Like, I don't remember who's a scrum master, who's a product member. I remember that Carter drove a VW Bug in high school, and that's his favorite car. Or I remember that Claudia saw REM on a tour, and that's one of her favorite concert experiences. Like, for me, it's those things. And when you take those things away, you're right. It gets sort of, me as an extrovert, I get a little uncomfortable because I want to get to know people personally so that I can always have that, the Volkswagen Bug guy.
Right.
The woman who likes REM.
Sort of reference point.
Right. Right, frame of reference. It makes it a little difficult, but I think now that we've talked it out, I get where the instructor was going. And I'm going to ask this question of you, Carter. I'll start with you. What aspect of the course, if any, did you find the most challenging?
I as I was talking to Claudia before, the time, because it started at 8:30 at night, and I'm a night owl. That was, I had to be taking some caffeine to stay up. And really be focused. But I felt like the way that they were using the breakout rooms, and there was a lot of interactivity between classmates. And so we would have, peer coaching. We had an actual, an assignment where we had to work together. And so I created like a little Discord server specifically for my team, and we worked on this collaborative document. I thought that was phenomenal. So, but the challenge with that was getting everybody in the same room and working on the same document and, you know, figuring out how we're supposed to self-organize around this work. And, but the tools are still, I think there's room for improvement in being able to do things virtually, though I am taking a facilitation course also right now, and Zoom is really great. Those breakout rooms are awesome. Yeah, especially if you're ever going to do liberating structures online, breakout rooms are a must. So
we're going to loop back and talk about, I'm assuming that's AFF.
ATF.
ATF. I always get that confused. Mm-hmm. And then I think ATF, I think of Waco, and my brain goes in crazy directions. Claudia, I'm going to ask you, what did you think, if anything, was the most challenging aspect of the course?
I would say just the intensity of it, really. It's just all in all, 3 days. Where you've got this huge phase beforehand where you're in introspection mode. What do I know? What do I not know? We started with something called the Agile Growth Wheel. So it's got the whole sense of being a full coach. What does it mean? Where are you at? Which is what I wanted from it too. But then for two full-on days within the course, so many exercises and using techniques. It was really, really wearing. It was exciting. So the adrenaline was definitely running, but staying focused and keeping your coaching brain on for that entire time. And maybe that last sort of sprint that we had where we were working on teaching from the back of the room exercise, all of us were just, I think, like on the last bit of adrenaline that we could. So get it all in there. How are we going to... It was an exercise. You had to put together a 5-minute training course with 45 minutes, and there were four of us. So getting that done within 45 minutes and delivering a 5-minute training course was just intense. When you think about it, this is something that we do all the time. So you've always got less time than what you think you're going to have to deliver, but just the adrenaline of it and the fatigue of the past couple of days. It's like, all right, we just got to get it done. Let's get it out. And it's going to be as good as it can.
I can completely agree with that whole, when you're on, right? When you're turned on, and to do that at length without, I mean, yeah, you get the break for coffee, you get the lunch break, but even still, when you get back in the chair, you're switched back on again. And we know that the course of an 8-hour day, you're only really hitting, like, you're only maxing out your processor, right? Only a couple times. In training courses like this, you're at somewhere between 70 and 90% utilization 8 hours in a row. And it's toasty, right? I'm assuming, Claudia, you were like me. You got home and you were like, or you turned off the computer and you were like, I think I want a glass of wine and a nap, right? Like, that's how you feel, right? It's you get completely mentally just waylaid. And that's a whole different podcast
topic. That's like my last safe class. That's how I felt.
Oh, yeah. Well,
but you've heard of... feel like that goes with the whole online course. It's when you're in person, you're still kind of in the flow. Even if you're taking a break, you're still within the setting. So you're not completely cutting off. When you're at home or wherever it is that you're taking this online course and you're taking a break, you're completely cut off. Like, I was at home. So for that 1 hour break time, I was with my husband and my daughter, and I couldn't be thinking about other stuff. Right. I had to be there with them. So coming back to it's like, okay, got to get it back on, got to get back into the flow.
You're right. You're not, if you're in person, in a course in person, you're not really context switching in the sense that you're going to lunch, but you're sitting at lunch with, I'm sitting at lunch with Claudia and Carter, and we're both in the same course. So we're ostensibly talking something course related. Or at least course tangential. Or as I'm home, like I'm taking an online course next week, and I know that during the break, I'm not getting out of my chair. I got to keep my brain on, because if I get out of my chair, I'm going to get distracted. I'm going to want to check my work email, and then things are going to go sideways quickly. So you're right. Maybe we should do a follow up on how to pay attention in remote courses. Okay. I make a note of that. We'll have you both back on to talk about that. So now let's talk about, and Claudia, I'm going to start with you again. Who would you suggest take this course?
I don't know if it's particular to the course that I took or to the trainer's approach, but I would say anyone really who is looking to either mature their agile coaching or figure out what it is. I personally took it because I'm kind of at this crossroads where I'm trying to figure out is what I'm doing coaching? Am I a coach? I don't personally call myself a coach. I feel like I work with teams of teams. I have been a scrum master. And I also wanted to know, can I call myself a coach? Even though I don't necessarily think about the label, but just the approach to, okay, analyze where you are. These are the different aspects of coaching. Where are you? This sort of gauge is a personal thing. So it helped with that. And I would say there were people on there who were far more experienced than I am. So it's just varying levels of experience. But anybody who is curious about or trying to figure out where they are in their coaching journey, it's relevant to them.
Awesome. Yep. Carter, same question.
So I would say, so Scrum Masters should be coaches. It's part of being a Scrum Master is to being able to coach a team, to be able to coach a product owner, to work with the organization to understand what Scrum provides them. And so I sort of went through agile coaching from a backwards point of view, because after I took my PSM1, I didn't know anything about IC Agile or agile coaching. I understood you needed to be a coach. That's it. I didn't know anything about Agile podcast uprising or what have you. And so I actually went and got professional coaching training through a couple of organizations. So I have like 90 hours of coaching training in class or virtually. And then as I started really understanding Scrum and Agile, I was like, oh my gosh, there's something called Agile coaching, like through IC Agile and, you know, Lisa Atkins, and read that book. And so I was like, okay, I really need to understand how to coach in the Scrum. Like, I understood how to coach professionally in terms of like the client brings the agenda, you know, you're not, but it's much different when you're in an agile space and you have to sort of have that switch off the hats between being a trainer and a mentor and then being a coach also. And so facilitation and all that jazz. So I would say you should take the course if you are wanting to up your game as a Scrum Master, or you're an Agile team lead or what have you, and you want to be able to understand, well, what is the difference between being a mentor? A lot of people don't understand even just what a coach is. So if they don't have the grid to be able to say, oh, I am a, you know, they think that just telling somebody, advising them to do X, Y, or Z is actually being a coach. You're not really. I think it's a great springboard into understanding, okay, well, now I know how to do this coaching thing, or I understand that the rabbit hole is really deep. And where can I go from here? Do I want to be a team coach? Do I want to be a business coach? Do I want to be a transformation coach? Do I want to, you know, get into agile team facilitation? You want to be one of, you know, so there's so much you can do once you get through this class. And it's really, it's up to you where you want to, you know, take your career. But I feel like it should be something that somebody does after at least a year of being a Scrum Master. They should look into taking some sort of real professional coaching class like this.
Okay, go after you, Claudia.
I would say that's one of my biggest takeaways is actually knowing, okay, so now I know more or less what an agile coach is or could be. What do I want to do with this information personally? Where do I want to grow myself? Like, that's been one of my aha moments coming out of this. Okay, this is where I need or want to grow.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with everything that both of you said. I think any Agile practitioner, this would be a great course, right? And mm-hmm. like you said, Carter, and you said it yourself, Claudia, you know, anybody who's looking to understand more about themselves and also where they want to go in their career, I think these skills come in handy. Just the once you introduce the idea, it's taken root, right? And now you know mm-hmm. that there's that idea, you can then frame it and manipulate either in or around it. So I would say any Agile practitioner should take this course. And I think, you know, product owner, product manager, RTE, if you want to get into the safe mm-hmm. space, I honestly think, and I think we've had this conversation on Discord, one of the things that leaves us all wanting with the CSM course is it's 2 days and it's just Scrum and it's very vanilla, where mm-hmm. if you think about it, Scrum Master is typically the entry point, the jumping off point for a lot of us in how we get into yeah. the world of agility. So mm-hmm. Troy Lightfoot and I go back and forth. Now, granted, Troy's absolutely bananas. Love him to death. He's nuts. But him and I have talked about how if we had to design a course, how would we do it? And we both agreed you'd have a day of Scrum, you'd have a day of Kanban, you'd have a day of facilitation, you'd have a day of coaching, mm-hmm. and you'd have a day of metrics, right? So like all the Vacanti, mm-hmm. Troy McGinnis stuff, mm-hmm. Reinertsen, Flow and all that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, most people don't want to take 5 days, but if your company's paying for it, right, we can find a way to make it work. But that would be, that's almost a holistic way to approach, here's the world of agility and here's all the little pieces. Here's all the bottom pieces. We're not going to talk about the big pieces up here, right? With like mindset shifting and culture changes, and that's much bigger than 5 days of class. But I think that would be a nice welcome change. So now I want to ask another question. I'm going to start with you, Carter. Do you think this course was worthwhile?
Yes, I think it was. I think that as we mentioned in the last question about like what did we get out of it and would we recommend it to somebody, I believe that the fact that I was able to do it at night and not have to take time off work because I'm a consultant, so I can't bill my hours if I'm not at work, was really helpful. The fact that I've went through one training that was 4.5 days in person. It was 8 hours a day, except the last day, obviously. And I was so drained at the end that I could barely spell my name. And so the fact that I was able to do it in 3-hour chunks and was, it really did help with solidifying a lot of the information that they went over. And so I didn't feel drained. Would it be nice to attend something that's like a 2-day intensive? Yes. But it didn't work out for me, and the schedule was really helpful. So,
okay. How about you, Claudia?
It was definitely worthwhile. We were just talking about it with Carter before we started the podcast, but if I could do it again, I would. And I don't know if it's just because of what I got out of it, because of the practice, or if it was the actual trainers themselves, because I think I've become a fangirl. But going through that, being in that mindset, being with other people, because sometimes I feel like the positions that we're in can be pretty lonely places. You don't necessarily always have, well, depending on the size of the organization, but you don't always have like-minded people. You don't have that sounding board. And just having that sounding board, seeing the trainers actually go through the coaching exercises, so just having those examples, and then putting it into practice yourself, it was great. And kind of you step out of there and you're like, okay, now I got to do it in a real world setting. But yeah, I would recommend it. I would do it again if I could. And I think it was very, very worthwhile and valuable to me as a person.
Awesome. Awesome. Fantastic. Well, that about wraps us up. I do want to be conscious of everybody's time. It is a weekend. We do have there's probably margaritas to be drank, and we all know I have yard work to do. So on behalf of myself, Claudia Carter, I want to thank you both for taking your time to join us. On behalf thank of you. Claudia Carter and myself, I want to thank all of our listeners. Hopefully you enjoyed this episode. If you did, give us a review, a rating, iTunes, Podbean, Podbros, whatever. If this is your first time tuning in, you can subscribe. We have a very, very vibrant discussion on our Discord server. I'm sure Claudia and Carter would both agree. There are times definitely. It goes from 0 to 180 very quickly. Yeah. But it is an interesting melting pot of agile practitioner minds coming from all different walks of life all around the globe. So if you're looking for some good conversation and honest conversation, I strongly suggest hopping in. We also do have a coalition site where we post a lot of links and a lot of deeper materials if you're looking for that. And last but not least, I have to throw this in here. We are self-funded and self-hosted, but if you feel like chipping in, we do have a Patreon. I will throw a link in the show notes. So once again, Claudia and Carter, thank you. And until next time, this is the Agile Uprising Podcast, signing out.